welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
All right, Coach, let's take a quick look back. 63-0 win against Eldon. Like we talked about after the game, I thought it was a game where played well in all three facets, offense, defense, special teams. I mean, it, to me, from the sideline, it looked like an A effort all around.
I thought we really came out and executed the way we had in practice. I thought our practice really set us up for a good situation in the game. We came out, and again, like you said, it wasn't just one specific area. It was all areas. And our players right now are having fun at practice. I kind of look at my coaches sometimes, I'm like, Is it going as good as we are? I don't want to be the eternal optimist and think that, but everybody's like, no, it really is. Our flow has been good in practice, and it leads into great flow into the games.
And really quick, let's talk a little bit about Nolan Laughlin. Anytime you break a state record, it's a big deal. As we talked about after the game, I mean, this is a program that I think in 2016 only attempted 10 total extra points. He made 9 on Friday night. So to get a state record for most career made extra points, I mean, I know you said, you know, good snap, good hold, good kick. And you know what? He's been the benefactor of a lot of going 3 for 3 on those.
Well, you can have all those and not still kick the ball very well. So you have to kick the ball through the uprights, and he's done a tremendous job of that. We're really, you know, proud and excited. Anytime you can put a name in a school in a Missouri State High School record book, it's a good day. But at the same standpoint, it's also been his kickoffs. And I think that's the one thing this year that has kind of set him apart and made him even have more confidence on kicking extra points is his leg strength is extended into the end zone on many occasions. In most games, he's had at least one touchback. So when you can do that, that just adds another facet to your game, and I think gives him even more confidence in the kicking game.
One thing I've noticed, especially in the past 2 weeks, is the offensive skill triangle of Tyler Bax, Brady Dapkus, and Hayden Lackman have all been on point. And I know if you look at some games earlier in the year, you know, one of them may have a standout game. And I think it's been intriguing that the past 2 weeks, all three of them have shined. And I feel like that's a good trend as you're heading toward the postseason.
I absolutely agree with you, and I'll take it a step further. We've had 5 different all-line combinations throughout the season.
Yeah.
The past 2 weeks, we've had the same combination for 2 weeks continuous. And I felt like last 2 weeks, we really started to change the line of scrimmage. If you can change the line of scrimmage, that opens up that inside run game, which opens up Hayden. But then if you change the line of scrimmage and they start stopping that conducting a situation where they got to advance more players in the line of scrimmage, then we start running Tyler. Mm-hmm. Well, now you put another guy on Tyler, and now we get it to Brady. And now that's the process of the way you really do the option. You've got the primary, you got secondary, and you got the third. And the third is no less than the first. It's all three of them work together. So on any particular play, when you're watching our offense, usually 3 guys can end up with it. We can extend that out to Brendan Rackers. We can extend it out to Jackson Engelbrett. We can extend it out to Jet Currit. But we really try to incorporate an area of our offense where we can isolate a player and put him in what we call conflict, where he's right, but he's wrong. So I think the combination of our offensive line doing such a great job blocking the point of attack, moving it, and getting Hayden going in the interior part of it has really opened up where we got 1-2-3 option now.
All right, let's talk about this week's opponent, the Hallsville Indians. I have a feeling they might throw it more than once or twice on Friday night. What do you think?
Well, they've thrown it over 120 times in the last 2 games, so I think we're going to see the ball in the air quite a bit. The quarterback, extremely accurate. He is a good running quarterback, but he doesn't run as much as what you would think he would run because he's just such a physical good runner. He really looks to get the ball down the field. His primary target is Stinson. There's no mistake about that. He has over 80 catches on the year. They'll throw a 1-yard route to him. They'll throw a 5-yard route to him. They throw a 15-yard route to him. They'll throw a post to him. It doesn't matter if he's got 2 guys on him, 3 guys on him, and he seems to make the catches. They also have 2 other really quality receivers, and they just – they're not afraid to say, we're going to throw the football, and guess what? We're going to throw it again. And when you do that, it really sets you up defensively to think, oh, they're just passing the ball. Well, they do an awesome job of running a screen package. Yeah. And anytime you extend the ball the way they do in their passing game, the run game is a screen package. So I think that's what we're going to have to really be leery for, especially as aggressive as we are defensively, is worry about that screen package.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. Greg, another commanding performance for the Falcons last week. I mean, 163-0 at Eldon, and you go, who in the Tri-County is going to give them a game this year?
I mean, yeah, I know Eldon was missing a few players, but even if they were at full strength, they just were no match. I mean, Evan Bielan really had to, I mean, he was their main offense. I think for a quarterback, he had like 18 carries for like maybe 6 or 8 net yards. Oof. Like he got tackled for like 6 or 7 losses altogether. And I remember, I think his biggest gain might have been like a 9-yard scramble. And I just remember Jay Chouinard comes out of nowhere, middle linebacker, and just makes a great open field tackle on him. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, that is Eldon's best play of the game, a 9-yard gain.
Right.
And it was actually a heck of a tackle by the Blair Oaks defense. So even in what you could argue was their worst play of the game for Blair Oaks, it was still a really good play. So, that's the thing. If you're watching film, if you're Blair Oaks, you're like, man, if we're being that nitpicky that's like one of the worst things we saw, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the thing about the Falcons is, and what I, we devote plenty of time on this, and I think we try to hit as many things as we can each week, but we always spend a ton of time on offense because it's prolific. We spend a ton of time on defense because it's great. Let's talk about a kicker for once, because
we
don't spend a lot. We spend some time on special teams, but when you get a chance, I think sometimes it is easy to overlook that, and I think just that kind of in-the-background nature of it has turned into some sustained excellence.
Yeah, so Nolan Laughlin broke the state record for most career extra points. He started the game with 259. I think the record was 262. So on the fourth touchdown in the first quarter, he was able to break the record. I mean, anytime you could set a state record, it's a big deal.
Right.
You take a look at it. I mean, first off, for him to get that many attempts, you have to score a ton of touchdowns.
Sure.
So we're talking,
yeah,
like after that game, he's up to 268 now. That's about an average of a little under 70 touchdowns a season on average. He's only had 2 misses all year, and one was was probably a bad snap, and the other one wasn't the best of holds. So his accuracy has really gone up. He's gotten a strong leg, as we mentioned in week 3, I think against Osage, he attempted a 51-yarder, and it was straight. It just probably was about 5 or 6 yards short, but for a Class 3 kicker to have the range in the mid-40s is pretty good. But again, the one thing, while he broke this record, his biggest impact this year, I agree with Coach LePage, his biggest impact has to be the kickoff.
Okay.
Because he has gotten so many touchbacks. I think he's probably at like 23, I think, through 7 games, which, if Blair Oaks, there have been years where I don't even know if Blair Oaks had maybe 1 or 2, and the only reason they were touchbacks were because they bounced into the end zone.
Right.
The other thing, but even when he's not getting touchbacks, for example, this past week against Eldon, I think they fielded a couple of kickoffs at like the 5 instead of letting him go in the end zone. They tried to return him, and the Blair Oaks kick coverage has improved so much that they were able to make tackles at the 15. So even you're talking about like, it would be better off for Eldon to just let the ball try to go in the end zone so you could start at the 20. So, he's doing a better job on kick coverage. I think you and I have talked about how maybe if you have to really nitpick in years past, maybe Blair Oaks' kick coverage might be the one thing that was probably the one that you throw a lot of bench players on to try to get them varsity experience. And they're stepping up and making great plays this year.
I think it's just a measure of, Blair Oaks has been a fantastic program for a number of years. But it's not all that far in the distant past where I can remember, the one area is a smaller school you always kind of wonder about is the kicking game. And it wasn't all that long ago where it was not we do or don't have a field goal kicker. There were some years I can remember where they're like, we don't know if we've got anybody who can handle kickoffs.
Right.
And either one, kick them deep, or two, be good enough for position kicking. I mean, there were some years, that where you're just like, we don't have a kicker.
Yeah.
And so every time we kick off, it's going to be a lineman, and we're just going to hope for the best. Well, now you've got a thing where you've had like 4 years of him where you go, you know what, we don't have to worry about, you know, not just kickoffs, but we don't have to worry about extra points, and we may not even have to worry about field goals because we can depend on it. That's just a luxury they haven't always had. So when you've had this nice run, man, it's just a fantastic, you know, thing to have in your arsenal.
I mean, honestly, going back to my first year in 2016 when I covered Blair Oaks, I think they attempted 10 extra points all season.
Right.
Nolan Laughlin was 9 of 9 on Friday, so he almost surpassed that entire season
right.
in one game. So, and again, that was also back when, you know, they had the backfield and they had a different coach, and they went for two because if you succeed for more than 50% of the time, you're going to be ahead of your opponent.
Sure.
And I get it, in high-scoring games, you want teams chasing points. But that was one of the things Coach LePage emphasized after games. Like, look, I'm not a guy who, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not big on chasing points. I just go out, make the kick. We got 7 points. We don't have to worry about it.
Right.
And even, you know, there have been times where, I mean, Nolan's probably made between 80 and 90% of his extra points for his entire career. And even when he does have a miss, a lot of times Burks will go for two and they'll get it. And boom, that just negates all of that. So,
right.
To me, that's when you have a kicker, when you don't really have to think, like, it's almost automatic that he's going to make it at that lower level, I think that's a huge deal. And I, you know, like I said, I think he really, I know he won't have the field goal numbers, mainly because Blair Oaks scores so many touchdowns, he doesn't get field goal opportunities. But I would argue, even though there's only three spots, I think he's putting up numbers to be in talks for All-State as a kicker this year.
Right. And I think the next thing, the next follow-up question is, you go, okay, he's got the record for PATs. Is there a chance he can get the total kicker scoring record? So how close is that, and is that still maybe in play?
So total points, they would need to average, they would first off need to go all the way to the state title game, and they would need to average 7 touchdowns a game.
Okay.
So, it is possible. It'll be tough.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing, is if he does that, then he'll also break the single season record for most PATs, which is, I think is somewhere in the 90s, and right now he's at like 51 or 53. So in order to break the career record, he also would have to break another record along with
it. Gotcha. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. Well, that's probably enough about last week's game, because that was probably the glitzy thing about a 63-0 walkover, where you go, well, that one was pretty easy and there's not a whole lot to probably discuss. So now the next thing is, okay, we get to the point where we're kind of in the final two-game stretch, and when we were kind of looking at maybe at the beginning of the season, we were looking at the final two games with Hallsville and Southern Boone going, ooh, those might be some really high-stakes games. While I think the Southern Boone still is a high-stakes game maybe at the end of the season, Hallsville's kind of, you know, fallen off a little bit this year and maybe not been as great as we might have maybe hoped for. So Blair Oaks comes in 6-1 overall, 4-0 in the conference. Hallsville's 2-5 and 1-3. So, it's maybe not, you know, the Hallsvilles of the past couple years where they were in the mix and maybe could, you know, maybe challenge for something. I think this is just one of those teams where you go, okay, you have to take them seriously, but it's also not maybe as dangerous a game as you might have thought heading into the start of the season.
Well, you got a point. I'll play a trivia question with you, Tony.
Okay.
How many passing attempts do you think Hallsville had last week against Southern Boone?
I'm going to be wrong, bad wrong, probably either way. So let's go low, and I'll say 4.
Go the other way.
Okay. How about 34?
Much, much higher.
Really?
They attempted 64 passes.
Oh, my goodness.
64, so as people
so
heard...
So missed it by a lot.
So as people heard in the interview earlier with Coach LePage, they're going to throw the ball more than a time or two tonight.
Okay.
The one thing I emphasized in my goal line story today is it's not uncommon for high school football teams to have an 8-1 run-to-pass ratio. That, honestly, that's very common, especially if you look at, like, you know, just in Jeff City alone. I mean, you know, I would argue Capital City and in some seasons Jefferson City has put up ratios like that.
Sure.
Tony, Hallsville had an 8-1 pass-to-run ratio last week. They had 64 pass attempts and 8 carries. So that is very, very obscure at the high school level.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I don't know if you trying to prep yourself for this game by watching a little bit of Varsity Blues with their offense from East Canton or from West Canton. So
well, and you know that there's years that Blair Oaks has thrown the ball a lot and thrown it all over the field and has been one of the more prolific teams at doing that. I don't think I ever remember a Blair Oaks game where there was something that lopsided.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I know Blair Oaks has thrown it in the 40s a couple of times. I remember. You know, Dylan Hare had 40 pass attempts in Valley Catholic 2020. They haven't gotten above a low 40s very often. Right. So, 33 of 64. So I know that's a little over 50%, but that's still 33 pass completions and 356 total yards. So, what people need to expect from this Hallsville team is, honestly, the reason they're going with the pass game is. You've got good receivers, first off. If you have a good quarterback and you have good receivers, you really need both of those to pull this off. The other is, the line play hasn't quite been where it has been in the past for Hallsville. So, again, like if you're a quarterback, if you get to Mississippi and you still have the ball, you're in trouble. So that's another thing is why they pass so often. So they don't. It's not like they throw a lot of downfield balls. It's going to be a lot of bubble screen type passes, a lot of short, quick slants because they want to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand in a hurry. And when you've got athletes at receivers who can get a lot of yards after catch, you don't really need to throw the ball very far. Just let your receivers do the work.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that not only is it probably going to be entertaining from the standpoint of watching somebody throw it all over the field, it's just, let me just go through some of these scores for you because it seems like every game's been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So you go, their wins have been 46-15 and 38-29. Mm-hmm. Their losses have been 42-40 in double overtime, 48-20, 34-32, 52-16, and 48-28. So you look at it and go, these games are crazy. There's lots of points. There's lots of scoring. There's going to be lots of things that happen. Now, would I be surprised if Blair Oaks posted a score like they did last week? Probably not. No. Because I think, again, this will be unlike any team that Hallsville's seen this year where you go, okay, they're going to have the kind of defense that may be able to, hamper those big numbers. It's just a matter of, okay, can you do it for all game long? And does Hallsville explode for how many plays here or there? And then what does that make this game turn into tonight?
So one of the questions I also asked Coach LePage was, okay, you're facing an offense that is so pass heavy. You haven't faced a team like this all year. Right. Like even teams that could throw the ball, they also ran the ball efficiently and were somewhat balanced. I was like, what do you do with your defense this week to get them ready for that? I was like, do you do anything different? Do you throw in any new coverages? And he's like, I met with the coaches. He meets with his coaches every Monday morning to kind of go over the game plan for the week and what they're going to do for Friday. And they all kind of came to the conclusion of, we're in week 8 of the season. It's too late to throw in something new. So he's like, what we're going to do is I'm going to try to paraphrase. Basically, he was like, we're going to take what we already have on our menu and try to apply it to what they've been doing. Okay. So, honestly, like I said, it's going to be a game where defensive linemen are – you're going to have an empty backfield. So if you could find a hole through their offensive line, you're right there with the quarterback.
So I guess that's my next question is, do you then, if you're not going to change what you like to do, are we going to see a lot of, linebackers chasing receivers? Are we going to see, if we're not going to maybe add extra DBs or anything or go with a heavy defensive backfield to expect a lot of passing, what are we going to see? What does that mean for maybe some of the Blair Oaks personnel in terms of, is it going to be playing out of your comfort zone tonight?
Honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they just stick with the 4-man rush. I don't know if you might have some of your – just because your linebackers are so mobile, you don't really need to do an outside blitz unless you really want to.
Right.
A lot of times Hallsville will line up with an empty backfield, 5 wideouts. Every once in a while they'll bring their running back Wyatt Morris in, and he'll just – he's only carried the ball maybe like 35 or so times this year. So a lot of times when he's in the backfield, it's to provide an extra blocker for like maybe an extra half second to a second of protection. At that point, that being said, you've got to apply pressure because their receivers are so good at blocking. It's not rare for them to break loose on a big gain if they find an opening in some of these screen passes. So, this will be very interesting to see what the Blair Oaks cornerbacks and their safeties are able to do. This is a Hallsville team that's thrown for 20 touchdowns, but they've also thrown for 16 interceptions. Okay. So, Blair Oaks, they've won. I mean, Blair Oaks has won the takeaway battle for the past few weeks. Is this something where they kind of pick up right where they left off? Can you get like three or four interceptions and kind of force them to maybe want to run the ball because they're not having success passing it?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, if things go well for Hallsville, let's say, and their offense is scoring, I still feel like this is a game at the end of the day where you go, if you're going to have a shootout, I'm still taking Blair Oaks every time. Right. I would do that. So I think the game hinges on, can Hallsville get any or enough stops of the Blair Oaks offense to keep this one tight?
I really don't. This Hallsville defense is not a good matchup for against Blair Oaks. I mean, it's great for Blair Oaks because it's a three-man front, but a lot of times they'll bring their outside linebackers. And basically, I don't know how much Blair Oaks will try to run between the tackles. They've had success with it this year. Or do you say, hey, let's beat Hallsville at their own game and just start throwing the ball because Blair Oaks has a plethora of wide receivers themselves.
Right.
So it'll be very interesting because I guess the best way to describe Hallsville's defense is it's a huge gamble. Now, if sending five works, I mean, you know what? You get some tackles for loss, you get some sacks, you get some hits in the backfield. It looks great, but it also leads to some broken plays where, you know what? If they send five and Tyler Beck's, you know, finds a receiver, I mean, that it could be like a 60-yard touchdown.
Right.
So it's a big risk, big reward defense, which is why we're seeing Hallsville give up close to 40 points a game.
Yeah. We're running a little bit long, but there are a couple other things I want to hit before we end this. First thing would be, this is the point in the season where you start really looking at injuries and going, okay, we're getting to the point where we're almost to districts. We're kind of starting to want to shore up things, make sure we're okay. How are things looking for the Falcons on that front?
You know, they'll be without Bryson Varner again this week. He probably could play.
Okay.
You know, he didn't have a whole lot of contact at practice earlier in the week, but it's just one of those things like just try to get him to 100% when the postseason starts because that's when you're going to need him the most. So I think it's just one of those things where they're going to be safe and hold him out. And James Robin honestly did a great job in his place last week. I think he had four tackles in the win against Eldon. Vander Halford will add some depth at receiver, as I was mentioning earlier, how they have a plethora of receivers. Now they're going to get one more.
Okay.
Vander is he's a sophomore. People remember he's the one who suffered a knee injury in the district baseball championship game back in May.
Okay.
You know, he was cleared to punt last week, only got on the field once and punted 53 yards, and he did that with the bad leg, so clearly, you know, everything's good to go.
Right.
He's been cleared for 100% contact this week, and he'll get a handful of snaps. Not sure if he'll start, but he'll at least get a handful of snaps as a wide receiver, so we've already got four pretty darn good wide receivers. Now you got five, so they just have some riches at that position.
Yeah. And then finally, I guess there is something we're celebrating tonight. We're going to have a little bit of ceremony tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, so they're going to recognize the 2004 Class 2A, I believe that was the last year with the A's, state championship football team. That was the first state championship team in program history. You know, that's back when Coach LePage was the head coach with the Falcons in his first stint. And they'll recognize them at halftime after they do the homecoming coronation because it's also homecoming
right,
for Blair
right.
Oaks. So, I think they're planning to have a pretty big crowd for that one because, you know, again, you're getting to the point where that was really the team that really got a lot of this going. Like, that was one of the things I talked about with Coach LePage. Like, look, this is a team that really helped start it all. Like, we talk about all the success we've had recent. This is the team that jump-started everything. Don't get me wrong, there were a couple of great seasons before that, but this is the one that really got the ball rolling for this team.
Absolutely. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I think we're both leaning towards a Blair Oaks victory, so I'll just ask you, what do you think the score is going to be?
You know, I do think it'll be similar to last week. It would not surprise me if Hallsville scores a touchdown or two, but I just don't see how they're going to slow down Blair Oaks. So I'm going to say, let's say Blair Oaks wins this one 56-14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.